Once and again, I have seen a young person with a great talent in a particular field, but whose interest was elsewhere. Instead of using his talent and developing it to the fullest potential, he simply made it a thing of entertainment, a sideline for amusement. And we say, how tragic. But how much more tragic when some Christian sees the promise of the fullest spiritual life and fails to enter into it. I implore you, do not waste your birthright. God is pleased to speak to us through visual aids that we may understand divine truths which are otherwise beyond our comprehension. One such occasion is recorded in 2 Kings chapter 13, verses 14 to 19. Joash, king of Israel, came to visit the aged and sickly prophet Elisha. Hard times had fallen upon his country. The nation to the north was threatening his land with military invasion. What should be done? The prophet of God put a bow and arrows in the hand of the king and instructed him to shoot an arrow in the distance. That meant, the prophet explained, that God would give Israel victory in the approaching battle. Then he instructed the king to strike the ground with the other arrows. The king struck the ground three times and stopped. The prophet of God saw half-heartedness and indecisiveness in that action. He announced that Israel would be victorious over the Syrians only three times, whereas if the king had struck the ground many times, the victory would have been complete. Now that story strikes a note in my heart concerning the Christian life. It reveals that God is ready to give total victory, decisive victory, continual victory to the one who trusts Him. It also reveals that often our own indecisiveness and half-heartedness keeps us from enjoying spiritual victory. In this series of messages, we have sought to identify some principles to lead us to a full experience of the abundant life in Christ. We've examined the experience of Lydia, the first Christian convert in Europe, as recorded in Acts chapter 16. Thus far, there have been four guidelines clearly distinguished. First, be rightly related to God, as Lydia was a worshiper of God, having faith, humility, and reverence for Him. Second, have a discerning spirit. God opened Lydia's heart as she listened to the teaching of the Word. Third, practice loving obedience. Lydia expressed her willingness to obey the Lord in all things by her obedience in the one initial act. She confessed her faith in baptism. Fourth, cultivate a hunger for more. Lydia attended to those things which Paul spoke because she wanted to know all she could learn about her Savior. Now, let us investigate another guideline. Five, be satisfied with nothing less than the full inheritance which is provided for you in Jesus Christ. If you are satisfied with less, you shall have less. If, like King Joash, you're willing to stop at a lesser point than full victory, you shall not know full victory. But God reveals the guidelines to the fully spiritual life because He wants you to enter into it. Lydia was not satisfied to have heard the gospel alone. She was not content to stop with saving faith. She was not through when she confessed her faith in the divinely ordained ritual of baptism. She was not finished when she heard the preaching and teaching of the Apostle Paul and his missionary party. She wanted all that she could receive in Christ Jesus. She listened to Luke's record, and when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, "If you have found me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. Fullness is the Christian's birthright. The blessed potential of every Christian is to have a precious fellowship with the best teacher the world has ever known. The Holy Spirit is in the world and in the heart of the believer to make Jesus known to him. He dwells with you and within you, and it is His business to reveal the things of Christ and to conform you to the likeness of Christ. That's why the apostle prayed that believers might be filled with all the fullness of God. Jesus is able to be to you, as a Christian believer, all that you need. God has put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. The believer is in Christ. And in that relationship, he shares with Christ all the fullness of God. That is your birthright as a Christian. Don't fall short of it. Fullness is the aim of the church also. Spiritual growth and world evangelism is the twofold purpose for the existence of the church. In Ephesians 4, the Holy Spirit reveals that the officers and leaders of the church are for the purpose of building up believers to spiritual maturity, that they might be able to minister in the name of Christ. It is His purpose that the body of Christ might be built up till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto the perfect or full-grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that henceforth we be no more children, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things who is the head, even Christ. God wants you to grow to be a full-grown Christian. And that's why He continues to minister to you. Do not stop short of the goal that God had in mind when He saved you. The fullness of which I speak is in Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 is one of the most amazing sentences in the Bible. It declares that in Christ there is all of God in a human body, and that we who are in Christ by repentance and faith are filled with all the fullness of God. Now, in writing the passage, the Holy Spirit caused the Apostle Paul to use grammatical forms which reveal the fullness of God in the Christian believer as a present fact. It is not what might be, but what is. It pleased the Father that in Him, Jesus, should all fullness dwell. Now, each Christian is in Christ. And by virtue of that identification, he is an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus Christ. That's a present reality. The Christian is not seeking something new and different. He is concerned that what is provided in Christ will be experienced in his own life. It is important that each believer know experientially what he is positionally. Claim that amazing promise as your own and enter into the good of it. In John chapter 1, verse 14, Jesus speaks as the only begotten of the Father, and it is said He is full of grace and truth. In verse 16, we're told, "Of His fullness we have all received grace for grace." That is to say that the Christian has already received the divine fullness, so that he remains with the divine nature residing permanently in him. You will have the fullness of Christ in exact proportion to your desire for it. If you listlessly and half-heartedly claim the victory God is offering you, you'll be like that ancient King Josiah. But would you, like Jacob wrestling with the angel at the brook, resolve, "I will not let you go until you bless me"? Someone has wisely observed, you will have Him enough when you want Him enough. Once and again, I've seen a young person with great talent in a particular field, but whose interest was elsewhere. Instead of using his talent and developing it to the fullest potential, he simply made it a thing of entertainment, a sideline for amusement. We say, how tragic. But how much more tragic when some Christian sees the promise of the fullest spiritual life and fails to enter into it. Oh, I counsel you, do not waste your birthright. Blessed Father, we accept every promise that you've given. We believe they're true, and we resolve to act upon them, to trust you to their fulfillment, and to grow to spiritual maturity. In the name of our Savior, amen.